You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the new world order. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms. Wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
A new world order. It is a big idea.
Don't forget, folks, that we have our FM broadcast transmitters available. Yep, we sell a 3-watt FM transmitter. It transmits on the FM band anywhere from 80 to 108 megahertz. That's the FM broadcast band. It is a proper FM broadcast transmitter. It's not a surveillance bug. It's not a toy. It's not a baby monitor. It is a real radio broadcast transmitter. It tunes very easy via the tuner pot. It's a little screw, and you can tune it to any frequency you want to broadcast on and make sure that you're broadcasting on a frequency that's clear so that you are not interrupting or interfering with anyone else's broadcast. It runs on 12 to 15 volts DC, so you can use it at home or in your car or in your RV or on your boat or just out in the field with a 12-volt battery, as long as you've got the right step down so that you don't burn it up with the wrong amperage or something. It can be connected to a mixer, a CD, a tape player, a microphone, stereo set, or even your radio. Whatever you need to broadcast with. And, folks, if you want to broadcast the Hour of the Time and you have a satellite receiver, you can just go directly from your satellite receiver right into your broadcast transmitter while we're on the air and simultaneously rebroadcast the Hour of the Time. Next week, we're going to have a satellite expert on here to tell you how to build your own low-cost satellite receiving station so that you can receive the Hour of the Time in beautiful, high-fidelity sound. And believe me, it is so much different than shortwave radio, you wouldn't even believe it. In fact, when you're listening to us on satellite, it sounds just like you're listening to a CD or a tape on your own stereo set. Only we're not in stereo. And that's not our fault. I mean, we can broadcast in stereo. It's just they don't have the capability of receiving it in stereo and putting it up there for us. And that's all right. You can also broadcast your own radio show. Did you ever think of that? Did you ever want to have your own radio show? Maybe just play old 50s music or whatever you want. Maybe you've got some friends that would like to do something like a radio drama. You could write your own scripts. You know, you could have a lot of fun with this. You could do political satire. You could educate a vast number of people. I keep hearing all the time, oh, I don't have much money, and, you know, I'm busy, and I got to work, and I got a family to support. There really isn't anything that I can do. Well, that's not true. You can do this, and you can have fun doing it. In fact, you can have a lot of fun doing it. You can make a big impact in your community, and before you know it, you'll be famous. And don't think that's good, folks, because famous ain't all it's cracked up to be, let me tell you right now. You not only attract the good of people, but you attract the worst of them also. Now, our transmitter, folks, our transmitter transmits in monaural, but it has excellent sound for broadcasting music or voice, better than most low-cost stereo units, in fact. I guarantee you'll be impressed. It has a well-designed oscillator section that gives it excellent frequency stability. There's no frequency drifting whatsoever. The big feature, though, is a full 3 watts of output power, giving this transmitter a true range of many miles. You see, most of the other FM transmitters in the market are just toys. They only put out about 1/10 of a watt, maybe 500 to 100 milliwatts of power. Their range is about 300 feet to a mile. Maybe sometimes they can get out to 2 miles. Ours gives you 60 times more get heard power. Also, the power it takes to drive most radio frequency amplifiers is from 10 to 100 watts. If one day you want to be heard in the next town, we use the best parts and PC boards in our transmitters. And folks, if you order the kit, you get plans to build a 1/2 wave dipole antenna and plans for a 3/4 wave antenna. If you order the assembled and tested model, you will receive a complete 1/2 wave dipole antenna with your transmitter set. The kit does not come with a transmitter. Both kits come with plans for a 3/4 wave antenna, which gives you a 3 decibel gain over the half-wave dipole antenna, and of course, a greater range. Now, we're the only micro-broadcast transmitter company to sell fully assembled and tested, not just kits, that we are aware of. If there's somebody else that does it, let me know and I'll stop saying that. But right now, we're the only ones that I'm aware of, folks, that sell fully assembled and fully tested FM broadcast transmitters. We also have free technical support if you ever have any problems, and we stand by our claim that this is a good product. It's fairly priced. If you're not happy with this transmitter, we will refund your money. As long as when it's returned, it's in complete working condition. And if it's a kit, if you have begun to assemble it or in any way altered the condition that it was in when you received it, then we cannot refund your money. Because we're not responsible for your screw-ups when you're assembling it, folks. So when you get it, look it over. If you don't want it, send it back. We'll refund 100% of your money. But once you start to assemble it, you actually begin the assembly process, that guarantee is null and void. With a fully assembled and tested model, if anything goes wrong with it, or if you just don't want it, within 30 days of receiving that transmitter, send it back to us. We will refund 100% of your money. Now, if it's been dropped, if it's dented, if it looks like you sat on it with an elephant or ran over it with a truck or something like that, no, we will not. Only for defective parts or failed parts, or you just flat don't want it and when it's returned to us it works perfectly, will we fund your money. We stand by this 100%. Now, we've sold over 200 in the U.S. already, and not one single transmitter has come back. We ship worldwide, ladies and gentlemen, except to Canada. We cannot sell these transmitters in Canada, and I will not lie on the customs forms, which means if we try to ship them into Canada, they will be stopped and confiscated at the border, and therefore, to save you the heartbreak of that happening, because if it's confiscated by the Canadian authorities, we cannot honor the money-back guarantee. Okay? So we just can't sell them in Canada. We can sell them anywhere else in the world. Worldwide, folks. So if you live outside the United States, any place other than Canada, you can also purchase these. Now, the kit, postpaid, is $100. The kit, postpaid, $100. The fully assembled and tested model, including the one-half wave dipole antenna, is $150. All prices are U.S. dollars. Okay? Now, I know there isn't any such a thing, but if I state it in any other way, people who are listening outside this country aren't going to understand what I'm talking about. All prices are U.S. dollars. We ship right to your front door. Folks, transmitter ships will be airmail special delivery. Orders will be shipped. Well, I better not say that, because if you don't get it, you know, when you expect it, then you're going to be disappointed. Let me tell you, according to the postal regulations, I must say, allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. You're going to get it a lot sooner than that. Unless it gets lost in the mail or stolen or something, and we'll handle that if it happens. But allow 6 to 8 weeks delivery, and like I said, you'll get it a lot sooner than that. Okay, now, let me give you a little more information. The power supply. You can get at any Radio Shack or electronic supply house. Radio Shack is the best place to go if you're in the United States. The supply voltage is 12 to 15 volts DC. That's direct current. The supply current is 0.5 amps. Input sensitivity is 10 megavolt or millivolt to 1 volt. Input impedance is 10K to 100K. Now, I'm not an electronic expert, folks. If you are, then you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, then you're like me. You'll just know that they work well. Frequency range is 80 to 108 megahertz, which is the regular FM broadcast band. Antenna feed is 750 HMS-RG6U. Transistors 2N3553. The output power is 3 watts. Size is 3 inches wide by 6 inches long by 2.5 inches high. All sales are 100% confidential. This transmitter, folks, is dynamite. You'll have a lot of fun with it. You can help us wake up America, and it's your chance. to do probably what you secretly wanted to do for a long, long time, and that's have your own radio show, folks, and you can do that. Also, I want to remind everybody that the video tape set, 12 hours of video tape of the presentation done at our last conference by the Oklahoma City Station Chief, Michelle, it is dynamite. You're not going to believe it, the professionalism that our people display. This is actually a training lecture. You'll learn an awful lot of the evidence and the reality of the Oklahoma City bombing. You're going to learn how media propaganda really works. You'll learn how our operatives in the field conduct an investigation and how a station chief supervises his or her people to make sure that the investigation is conducted properly and that all of the evidence is collected and that we're not going on supposition or guesswork or something that flew across the Patriot Facts Network. Nope. We only deal with facts. And this videotape set will bring it home to you. Then you'll understand a little bit better what we do. And it's going to give you a tremendous respect for what we do and for the people connected with the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. And that goes for you weenies out there in Gestapo, Nazi, jackbooted thug scumland. It'd be a good idea for you to order this videotape and learn how to do things right. Now that I've committed my... oh, boy. Now that I have been politically incorrect, let's mosey on down. 12 hours of video tape, folks. For members, it's $55 post-paid. For non-members, $70 post-paid. And you better get them quick, because I think there's only going to be 100 sets produced, period, in the whole world, at least for right now. If there's a tremendous demand beyond 100, we might produce another 100, but right now it looks like 100 is going to be it. So if you'd like to order your set, you better get your order in real quick, because I mean it, unless we get a tremendous demand, way over 100, we're not going to produce more than 100. It just doesn't pay, folks, because what we end up with is a bunch of videotapes sitting around with an investment in those tapes that we can't make a return on, which means we didn't make anything off of it at all. And we have to make money to continue our operations. And 10% of all sales off the retail price goes directly to that station chief for whatever use she wants to put it to. Either personal or in her organization. Doesn't make any difference to us. She's earned it. Also, the next issue of Veritas goes to press on Tuesday. I have written the headline article based upon over, I'd have to say, a lot of years of research. But in the last 2 years, specifically, a tremendous amount of research was conducted. And also a lot of the findings of Mr. Wayne Benson and Larry Beecraft went into this article, along with the results of my investigations and those specific operatives of the intelligence service who were assigned to investigate the BATF and the Internal Revenue Service. What we have discovered will blow your mind right through the roof. You will be so angry when you read this article. You see, you've been robbed. Every time you filed an income tax return and paid income tax, you were robbed. You were defrauded of your money. You were lied to. And this is big time. It is constructive fraud on a massive scale. Every time a federal judge presiding over a criminal trial or a tax court case brought before it by the BATF or the Internal Revenue Service, the judge lies to the jury, lies to the defense, and is actively, with knowledge aforethought and malice, taking part in constructive fraud. And we've proved it, folks. We've done what all of you could have done but never did. We got it right out of the books, right out of the law, right out of the history. It's a fact. And when Washington, D.C. sees it, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'll tell you this. It's not going to be good. I think the people who have been perpetrating all this stuff for a long time know what's coming. I think they know what's going to happen. We watch what they do. We have people who do nothing but monitor their personal investments whenever they can be monitored. And they're getting out of paper. They're going into natural resources. They're stocking up on food and water. They're buying gold and silver and copper and all kinds of metals, base metals. And, you know, because when everything is all over with, those things are what's going to be worth something. All the other things, most of the things right now that you think are worth so much, when you really sit down and think about it, you're going to find out when the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan, isn't going to be worth anything at all. You'll be amazed at what will have value and what will be traded amongst people with great worth. Things like toothpaste, tampons. Never thought of that, did you? See, it's going to be the basic things that people cannot do without. Food, clothing, guns, ammunition. Maybe even Bibles. I challenge you to devote some time to think about these things seriously. Gold and silver will control whatever market you're involved in. Anybody that has a gold coin that can be recognized as genuine, not counterfeit, as having a specific amount and purity of silver or gold in it, will be the king of the market. The smaller the denomination, the better off you'll be. Because if you want to buy a loaf of bread and all you have is a $20 gold piece worth $500, that's what that loaf of bread is going to cost you. However, if you had a little silver dime, you can get that loaf of bread for that little silver dime. I guarantee, folks. You know, I used to watch old Cal Worthington out in California, and if I could, and if you could see it, I'd chase a duck around the top of a Cadillac convertible with an axe. Just to get your attention, because old Cal got everybody's attention all the time. Whether you want a car or not, you always watched Cal Worthington's commercials, because they were funny. You know, I spent all day today working with Mike. Mike Aponte now is the only one left, him and his wife, Sharon. And I have spent most of my time since the last issue working on this article, which, by the way, is the most difficult article I've ever written in my life because it is so complicated. And there's such a tremendous amount of information that I had to sift through and only write about what I could get in that article legitimately without having it too long. I mean, it's long, but it can't be too long and it can't be too short. It's got to say what it's supposed to say. It was the most difficult thing I've ever done. It required a lot of travel, a lot of talking and sitting down and making sure that I understood the results of some research that some other people have done, so that I would get it right, absolutely right. And after I wrote the story, it had to be faxed or mailed off to several different people so that they could go over it word by word and letter by letter, because the capitalization of letters is extremely important in the law, and the punctuation. And so it went through many corrections and a huge, tremendous, long process of criticism and critique. And I think the final result, I think I am more proud of this one article than anything that I have ever done in my life, including my book. So the next issue of Veritas, I think that should tell you an awful lot about what's in it, how important it is, and how important it was to me to be able to write this and to be able to publish it. And I just want to thank Mike and Sharon and everybody who worked on this issue so hard from the bottom of my heart. You have certainly shown your dedication and your loyalty, and you certainly have earned and have my heartfelt thank you and my warmest friendship. And without you, I can honestly say, with no doubt whatsoever, there would not only be this issue, there wouldn't be any Veritas. And I want to thank Tina and Mark Terry and Wayne Benson and Larry Beecraft and all of the people in the intelligence service whose names I cannot disclose because of the work that they do and because a lot of their work has to be covert. And they wouldn't be able to get a lot of the information that they get if their identities were known. And but they know who they are, and their station chief knows who they are, and I know who they are. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you all so very much. The world has no idea how hard you work. Someday they will understand what your contributions have been, and then you will be given the public honor that you so richly deserve. But until that day, we must work as always as an intelligence gathering organization, which means that we have to work, most of us, in the background, without the reward and the public acclaim that we should, or that you should, I should say, receive. But history will never forget you. That I guarantee. And if I'm still alive when all this is over, I will make sure personally that your names are known and recorded in the proper places. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back with the final report by General Benton T. Parton on the Oklahoma City bombing. I should say Benton K. Parton. I apologize for that little slip.
A-M-E-R-I-K-A. Comrade Clinton is marching towards the millennium. His agenda, a new world order. He intends to foreclose upon the people and the property of the United States of America. Said it was necessary to kill the congregation at Waco to save the silver. Comrade Clinton ties us and guides us into surrendering our sovereignty piece by piece to a one world government. What's happened to you, America? Have you lost both your will to win and your mind? Would you willingly turn your children over to the Hitlerian
help? Ah, I want to thank also all the people down at Swiss America Training, Craig Smith, who called yesterday and we had a long talk, for their loyalty and for all the years that they've backed this broadcast amidst all the flurry of controversy and all the attacks, you know. And then one time old Lieutenant Colonel Bobo Gritz even called Craig Smith and demanded that he take me off the air. and Craig told him to go fly a kite. Craig also told him he couldn't take me off the air if he wanted to, because I own the contract with WWCR, not Craig Smith. Craig is my sponsor. Craig could withdraw his sponsorship, but he believes in the message of this broadcast. And I'll tell you, it's been a rough road for Craig because of this broadcast. He sponsors a lot of Patriot broadcasts, but this broadcast has gotten him in more trouble than anything else. He has been attacked on the front page of the Arizona Republic simply because of this broadcast. And many other things. He lost a lot of his business because of it. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Our enemies are successful because they do something that so-called patriots do not do, or very seldom do. You see, it's been my experience that people who call themselves patriots are looking for a buck. And in many ways, they're no different than the socialists who they preach. It's absolutely despicable. You see, because our enemies don't do that. They support their causes with big money, lots of money, all the time. They don't just talk. I learned a long time ago. You can come to me and be as nice as you want, and I'll be nice right back to you. You'll know me for 6 months before you understand that I never listen to a word you say. Never. I watch what you do. What you do determines our relationship, not what you say. It's the way it always is with me. And I only give people one opportunity. That's it. That's all they ever get. Because I also learned a long time ago that all this forgiveness baloney just leads to allowing yourself to be stabbed in the back again by the same people, or to be lied to again by the same people, or taken advantage again by the same people. Because people are what they are. And good people don't do those things to begin with. Good people don't have to talk. Some of the best people I've ever known in my life rarely ever said anything, but they did an awful lot. And that's the way Swiss America Trading is. They do an awful lot to help a lot of people. And they've brought you this broadcast for 3 years, folks. 3 years. Through the intentional burning down of WWCR. All-out attacks by the scumbag commie press. Loss of business from people who cannot stand to hear the truth. And a lot of other things. So if you understand what this battle is all about, if you understand what I've just been trying to convey to you, when and if you ever decide to do what you should have done a long, long time ago, and pretty soon it's going to be too late to do it, by the way, I hope you give your business to Swiss America Trading. There's nobody else who is as honest, upfront, as they are that I know of. There's nobody else that I know of that gives you a buyback guarantee. There's nobody else that I know of that tapes everything. So that there can be no misunderstanding between what the salesperson said and what the customer said, and nobody can lie about what anybody else said. It can't happen with Swiss America Trading. And 2 or 3 days later, before anything is shipped to you, you're called again, and that telephone call is taped. And everything is repeated. And you have to agree to it all over again, and it's on tape. And then you have Craig Smith's guarantee, and then you have my guarantee.
that if anything goes wrong or you think you've been mistreated or cheated or anything else like that, you call me and I'll take care of it. I guarantee you that. I just received a letter from a young man who said he called him several times, left his name and phone number and address, and nobody has gotten back with him. And I'll tell you right now, some ears are burning down at Swiss America Trading. And that man is going to get a call, and he's going to be treated right. And that's the way I do things. Now, nobody down there remembers ever getting the message, or they would have called. There's been some slip-up or some screw-up of some kind. I don't know what it is. But I let them know in no uncertain terms that that is not to happen to my listeners. So, you know who you are, and I know who you are, and Swiss America knows who you are, and you're going to get a call. And you're going to be treated the way that you expected when you made your first call to Swiss America Trade. And that goes for all of you folks. I mean what I say. I'm a man of my word. And rather than go back on my word, I will die on my doorstep. Don't go away. And while you're waiting for the rest of the broadcast to hear General Parton's report, call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did.
Will you allow your kids to be numbered like animals, as were the Jews and Gypsies in Nazi concentration camps, so they can be tracked and controlled from cradle to grave, and not raise your gun nor your voice? Have you bought Clinton's big lie and rejected the uncomfortable truth? Are we so brain-dead and fantasy-led as to be politically correct, rather than spiritually right? America, God help us. Haven't you learned? The earth was betrayed 2,000 years before. It was the world's greatest loss. When they raised their liberal hammer and nailed him to the cross.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the final report by Brigadier General Benton K. Parton of the bomb damage analysis of the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. Now, you're going to get this in Veritas, but in case you want to receive a bound copy of his original report, you can get it for $10 by writing to Brigadier General Parton. Send $10 to Benton K. Parton, P-A-R-T-I-N, Brigadier General, United States Air Force, retired. Here's his address. 8908 Captain's Row. That's 8908 Captain's Row, Alexandria, Virginia, 22308. One more time. Send $10 to Benton K. Parton, Brigadier General, United States Air Force, retired, 8908 Captain's Row, Alexandria, Virginia, 22308. Now, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, because this is extremely important. On April 19, 1995, the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, was bombed, causing extensive damage to the structure. The loss of 168, now 169, innocent lives. The victimization of the families of those who lost loved ones, hundreds of non-fatal injuries, and substantial property damage in the vicinity. The media and the executive branch reported that the sole source of the devastation was a single truck bomb consisting of 4,800 pounds of ammonium nitrate, transported to the location in a Ryder truck and parked in front of the building. It is impossible that the destruction to the building could have resulted from such a bomb alone. To cause the damage pattern that occurred to the Mura building, there would have to have been demolition charges at several supporting column bases at locations not accessible from the street, to supplement the truck bomb damage. Indeed, a careful examination of photographs showing the collapsed column bases reveals a failure mode produced by demolition charges and not by a blast from the truck bomb. To understand what caused the damage to the Muir building, one needs to understand some basics about the use and nature of explosives. First, blast through air is a very inefficient energy coupling mechanism against heavily reinforced concrete beams and columns. Second, blast damage potential initially falls off more rapidly than an inverse function of the distance cubed. That is why, in conventional weapons development, one seeks accuracy over yield for hard targets. That is also why, in the World Trade Center bombing, where the only source of blast damage was a truck bomb, the column in the middle of the bombed-out cavity was relatively untouched, although reinforced concrete floors were completely stripped away for several floors above and below the point of the bomb's detonation. See Time magazine of March 8, 1993, page 35. By contrast, heavily reinforced concrete structures can be destroyed effectively through detonation of explosives in contact with the reinforced concrete beams and columns. For example, the entire building remains in Oklahoma City were collapsed with 100-plus relatively small charges inserted into drilled holes in the columns. The total weight of all charges was on the order of 200 pounds. The detonation wave pressure, 1 million to 1,500,000 pounds per square inch from a high detonation velocity contact explosive sweeps into the column as a wave of compressive deformation. Since the pressure in the wave of deformation far exceeds the yield strength of the concrete, about 3,500 pounds per square inch by a factor of approximately 300, the concrete is turned into granular sand and dust until the wave dissipates to below the yield strength of the concrete. This leaves a relatively smooth but granular surface with protruding bare reinforcement rods, a distinctive signature of damage by contact explosives. The effect of the contact explosive on the reinforcement rods themselves can only be seen under microscopic metallurgical examination. The rods are inertially confined during the explosion and survive basically intact because of their much higher yield strength and plasticity. When a reinforced concrete structure is damaged through air shock coupling and the pressure is below the compressive yield strength of the concrete, the failure mode is generally compressive structural fracture on one side and tensile fracture on the other, both characterized by cracks and rough fracture surfaces. Such a surface texture is very different from the relatively smooth granular surface resulting from contact explosives. Tab 2, referring to the illustration, is a cross-section view of the building looking from the west. The very large header or crossbeam is shown at the north edge of the third floor. A large but smaller header is seen at the recessed north edge of the second floor with a brace beam extending out to the large columns in row A. The front of the whole building is glass. Tab 3 shows the architectural layout of the first floor of the Muir building and the location of the truck bomb with superimposed circles of roughly equal levels of damage potential. The explosive force drops rapidly, initially proportional to 1 over the distance cubed, as the shock front travels farther and farther away from the truck bomb. After the release wave, the shock front will propagate proportional to 1 over the distance squared. The maximum possible yield from 4,800 pounds of ammonium nitrate would be obtained if it were in a compressed sphere and detonated from the center. That would produce a 4.4-foot diameter sphere of detonation products at about 500,000 pounds per square inch. By the time the blast wave hits the closest column, the pressure would have fallen off to about 375 pounds per square inch. That would be far below the 3,500-pound compressive yield strength of the concrete. Any column or beam failure from the truck bomb would therefore have been from blast wave structural loading and not from any wave of deformation in the concrete. The basic building structure consists of three rows of columns, 35 feet apart, with 11 columns in each row, 20 feet apart. The four corner columns have an external clamshell-like structure for air ducts, etc. If we label the columns rows A, B, and C from front to back, and number the columns 1 through 11 from left to right, then columns A2, A3, A4, A5, A6, A7, A8, and B3 collapsed, essentially vertically. Tab 2 shows a very large reinforced concrete header at the floor level of the third floor of column row A. Much larger columns extend from the header down for the odd-numbered columns, in effect A3, A5, A7, and A9. The even and odd-numbered columns extended from the top of the building down to the header. The foundation of the building is a heavy reinforced concrete slab with no sublevels. From the potential damage contours on tab 3, and assuming the single truck bomb, the pressure and impulse for collapsed columns B4, B5, and A7 are all in the 25 to 35 pounds per square inch region. However, the much smaller and closer columns B4 and B5 are still standing, while the much larger column A7 is down. Column B3 is down with 42% less pressure and impulse than columns B4. These facts are sufficient reason to know that columns B3 and A7 had demolition charges on them. Moreover, there is not sufficient blast impulse at that range to collapse any of the three. In fact, columns B2, B4, and B5 all have the sheetrock and furring strip finish still intact on the second and third floors, except where damaged by falling debris. The large header across the front of the building at the third floor of row A was not blown back into the building as one may expect from such a large bomb. The header came straight down but rolled backward 90 degrees because the columns above the header rested off-center toward the back. A careful examination of photos showing the A-row columns and the large header from the third floor reveals absolutely no air blast shockwave fracture, which is consistent with the pressure falloff with distance from the truck bomb. The cleaned-up building structure, tab 4, shows that the failure line across the roof goes all the way to the ground except around columns B4 and B5 at the second and third floor levels. Reinforcement rods stripped out of beams and floors extend straight down on all floors. Columns A3, A5, A7, and B3 collapsed straight down as the apparent result of demolition charges at the column juncture with the third floor for column B3 and with the third floor level header for columns A3, A5, and A7. The even-numbered columns A2, A4, A6, and A8 in row A collapsed straight down because they were supported at the third floor by the header, which necessarily failed with the demolition of its conjunctions with column A3, A5, and A7. When columns A2 through A8 collapsed straight down, the roof and floor fracture lines at all floors acted as an instant hinge line, which would have given all floors collapsing down a slight tug toward column row B. Because of the collapse of column B3, the floors were cropped closer to the north side of columns B4 and B5, which resulted in damage by falling debris to sheetrock on columns B4 and B5 at the third floor level. The so-called pit area behind columns B4 and B5 was caused either by the blast from the truck bomb pushing out the ceilings of the first and second floors, or from the demolition charge on column B3. From the third floor, it would look like a pit into which much debris fell. The blast pressure in this area would have been sufficient to exceed the ultimate yield design strength of the floor. There were large areas at this pressure being held only by the floor-thick reinforced concrete around the 20-inch reinforced concrete columns in the B row. The floor of the first floor could not be blown downward because it was a heavy concrete slab on compacted earth. The ceilings of the first and second floors nearer the truck between the A and B column rows could also have been blown upward initially. Although the truck bomb had insufficient power to destroy columns, the bomb was clearly responsible for ripping out some floors at the second and third floor levels. Turning next to the demolition charges in the building, refer to the picture at tab 5. Here you see column A9 with no spalling as one would expect with the blast pressures involved and the decorative indents are unmarred. Note also the grooves at the top of the column and across the header. When the demolition charge on column A7 went off, the charge instantly left a 40-foot cantilevered header supporting column A8. cascading columns and beams from above probably snapped off the end with a clear structural fracture, including rugged cracks and rough surfaces. There is a large, unseen beam extending from behind the column, between the decorative grooves, back to the first floor header. This beam adds considerable rigidity to the lower odd-numbered columns in row A. Turning next to tab 6, the stub of column B3 has been cleared, showing the bare reinforcement rods at the third floor level. The large header from the third floor level has fallen almost straight down with what appears to be demolition charge damage clearly evident to the right of column A3. The exposed reinforcement rods are clearly seen at the header end to the right of column A3. It appears that the demolition charge pulverized the header and columns out to about 2 feet from the juncture. Column A3 is standing there with the clean reinforcement rods clearly extended. Also, the architectural decorative band is clearly evident without blemish, indicating no blast damage in excess of yield strength. In this picture, the failure of the header at column A5 is still covered with rubble and is not visible. However, the discontinuity and the slope of the header on either side of the column A5 location clearly shows that it failed in the region of its juncture with column A5. Tab 7 shows the localized damage to the header at the position of column A5, the closest column to the truck bomb crater. The end of the beam on which the men are standing shows evidence of a demolition charge at its juncture with column A5. Several feet of the beam juncture appeared to have been pulverized away by a demolition charge at the ends jammed together in the collapse. The blast pressure from the truck bomb would have been in the 400 pounds per square inch region, a factor of 10 below the yield strength of concrete. Tab 8 shows the localized demolition damage at the juncture of column A7 and the header. The same telltale demolition charge evidence is clear. The straight edge of the decorative groove at the juncture can be seen on both the column and the header. In my discussions with the building architect, who was on the scene as an advisor throughout much of the cleanup, he told me that the residual building was structurally sound and that the Mura building could have been rebuilt. This is totally consistent with the collapse of columns with demolition charges because the inflicted structural damage is more localized. Discussion above has been limited to the reinforced concrete structure of the Mura building. Reinforced concrete columns are hard targets for high explosive bombs. Structures that have large areas for blast loading and low mass can be destroyed at considerable range from a large blast. That is why glass, plaster, and light structures were destroyed at considerable distance from the Mura building, but not reinforced concrete columns. 5 pounds of blast pressure will flatten most frame houses. Much has been said about seismograph readings. Was there more than one explosion? Most people I talked to in Oklahoma City heard 2 explosions relatively close together. Some close by said they didn't even hear an explosion. That is not unreasonable when you consider that getting walloped by an intense shock wave is about like being hit across the ear by a 2x4. One would expect the demolition charges to have had an electrical or primacord interconnect. If so, it would be difficult to separate them on a seismograph. If delays were used, they would be discrete. If a sensitivity switch was used inside the building, the explosions would have been distinct. Bomb initiations could have been easily designed to go off either simultaneously or with separation. And in conclusion, the Mura Federal Building was not destroyed by one sole truck bomb. The major factor in its destruction appears to have been detonation of explosives carefully placed at 4 critical junctures on supporting columns within the building. The only possible reinforced concrete structural failure solely attributable to the truck bomb was the stripping out of the ceilings of the first and second floors in the pit area, behind columns B4 and B5. Even this may have been caused by a demolition charge at column B3. It is truly unfortunate that a separate and independent bomb damage assessment was not made during the cleanup, before the building was demolished on May 23rd and hundreds of truckloads of debris were hauled away, smashed down, and covered with dirt behind a security fence. When the picture at tab 4 was made, all evidence of demolition charges had been removed from the building site. In effect, the stubs of columns B3, A3, A5, A7, and the demolished junctures at the header with columns A3, A5, and A7. All ambiguity with respect to the use of supplementing demolition charges and the type of truck used could be quickly resolved, and the FBI were required to release the surveillance camera coverage of this terribly tragic event. Ladies and gentlemen, Brigadier General Benton K. Parton had 31 years active duty in the Air Force, progressively responsible executive, scientific, and technical assignments, directing organizations engaged in research, development, testing, analysis, requirements generation, and acquisition management of weapons systems. He had assignments from laboratory to the Office of the Secretary of Defense. The man is the supreme expert. I'm going to tell you right now, Ted Gunderson is mistaken. With all due credit to all the wonderful things that he's ever done, and Benton K. Parton is exactly right on the money. Everything that he says is absolutely in line with every single statement we've ever been able to obtain during our investigation and in conversations with explosive experts all across this country. If you'd like to get your subscription to Veritas in, it must be here by Tuesday in order to receive issue number 6. Subscription price is $55 for 24 issues. If you would just like to send $5 for issue number 6, that's the price. We also have back issues, back issues available of issue number 2 and issue number 5, which was the monumental money issue. There aren't many left, however. So if you'd like to get your subscription in, and just in case it doesn't get here Tuesday, include an extra $5. And if it does get here Tuesday, we'll send you your choice of either number 2 or number 5. If it gets here after Tuesday, we'll send you number 6. If you just want issue number 6, send $5, but send it now. Make all checks or money orders to Veritas, spelled V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S, and send them to Veritas, P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Remember, if you'd like the FM radio transmitter, the kit is $100. The fully assembled and tested model is $150 postpaid. For the radio transmitters, make checks or money orders out to Annie, A-N-N-I-E. Send them to the Intelligence Service, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. And that address will be repeated again at the end of this broadcast. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Pull out your arms. It's been a while past. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint? State of the fact.
Get out of this house. Surrender your kindness. Give me your gold. The federal pay if you want to come home. That's the best I can do when you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of Buffalo Reich, Clinton's preparing us for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation.
crisis creation, in tight black and white, programmed agitation.